Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Happy Friday, Cleveland. It is another day. Day three of Browns training camp in the books. And whew, it was something. Definitely something to be seen and talked about. And of course, we will talk a little bit of Guardians today as well. Plenty of good stuff coming up for you guys. It's Jake Volnick with you from 7 to 11 tonight on Overtime. We have Dominic Clary running the board as well. You heard her on the 2020s, doing work behind the glass. Mackenzie Flume with us tonight. Not only was it day three of training camp, it was day one of training camp for your very own. Got out there for the very first time. Talked to some people, saw some things. Two very big takeaways for me. One, it was muggy. You want to see a place that's just sweat-filled, you'd be like, oh, a practice. Yeah, that makes a ton of sense, right? I mean, you got like 100 guys running around on a field playing football. It's hot out. That makes a lot of sense for it to be sweat-filled. No, all you got to do is look towards the media room. If you're listening to Afternoon Drive today, you would know very well. Nick Wilson talking plenty today about the gnats surrounding him, the mugginess of everything around him. I think they put it up to a mug-o-meter or something like that. I don't know, a mugometer? He threw something in the mix like that.
Did it smell?
It didn't. No, it was outside. It was outside. It didn't smell.
Yeah, but the football players walk by. You know, they take care of themselves, but like the sweat under those pads is a different kind of sweat. And it's gross. Doesn't matter how much you disinfect those shirts and the pads, that sweat lingers, man. And it is. Oh, anytime I'm on the sideline of a game and I walk by a player, it hits me in the face. I'm like, oh, I do not miss that.
Yeah, I mean, I played. I'm not at a very high level, okay? I stopped playing in high school. We decided we wanted to be a child at some point in life or, you know, a teenager and decide, 2 days? That sounds like a lot of work. I'll be an outstanding student up until I got to my senior year. I'll be an outstanding student. So I put that to the side, but I did. I remember, like, it's not a good smell, and I was around the football team, around football players throughout my entire life growing up, including high school. Yeah, no, not a great smell. But
it's top five worst smells.
It's up there.
It's bad.
Yeah, like, three-year-old sweat does not last well. And, you know, maybe in the NFL training camps you're talking about only a few days of sweat, or maybe, you know, a couple weeks worth of sweat on there.
And, you know, I played with some football players on you know, BW that, you know, didn't wash their equipment. So, and I'm sure some of those guys linger into the NFL.
Yeah, you got to think a few slipped through the cracks, right? Yeah. At least a couple. But I didn't know. I was not close enough to the players to get the lingering stench, as Dom would put it. But it was definitely hot, and there was a lot of people out there sweating, media members, the radio crew, the players, everybody included. So that's takeaway number one. Takeaway number two, the offense looked abysmal. I mean, let's just say what it was. And you know what? That is far overreaction. I'm not saying the offense is going to be terrible this year because we've seen 3 days of training camp. Okay, guys are still working on things. Training camp is J.J. Watt and the Watt family so pressing proper and mad with everything that everybody else does because they can do no wrong. J.J. was very upset that people were tracking training camp stats and called everybody losers who is doing so on social media. Thanks a lot, J.J. Yeah, it makes a lot of... I mean, I'm not doing it, but I think people are just trying to have fun, you know, try to see where their quarterbacks and things are at. Like, training camp is for failure. It's to correct your mistakes, and you're supposed to go through the struggles. Yeah, no duh. I also think that if, you know, at least from what I saw online today, J.J. McCarthy throwing 4 interceptions in training camp, probably something to note. One day at training camp, 4 picks. It's just in. Not good. But the offense as a whole just absolutely struggled today. And that's from everybody top to bottom. Like, it wasn't just, oh, well, you know, the rookies are still getting it under, just kind of under wraps, and Dylan had a bad day, Shador had a bad day. No, I mean, everybody from top to bottom really did struggle. Like, they were going through red zone drills, and everybody, Joe Flacco, Kenny Pickett, top to bottom, they struggled to make completions on plays that are designed to be like, yeah, these are going to be really good, right? Like, these are going to be plays that get us scores. And you weren't completing a ton of passes. You had one touchdown today, and it was thrown by Kenny Pickett. And let me tell you, it wasn't like it was a unworldly, amazing play, great throw, great catch. No. And not everything shows up in the stats. Like, I know from watching earlier on today in training camp, like, there was one throw in red zone one-on-ones where it's just wide receiver against a defensive back that Kenny made a beautiful throw, and it went straight through his hands. So, like, I'm not saying everything. You can just look at the quarterback stats and get a full picture of what happens at training camp. But if it didn't look good, then it didn't look good. And I don't know what there else is to really say about it. And I was there for the first time today as somebody who's covered the team for several years and had been to plenty of these. Daryl Reuter hopped on with Nick on afternoon drive today after practice is all wrapped up and gave his evaluation of what happened over the last 3 days.
They've established nothing in 3 days.
Yeah.
There's nothing that has been established here. Now, part of that might be by design. You know, there could be a process that is taking place here that's that goes a little deeper and a little more in depth. But I'm going to tell you right now, as someone who has covered training camp practices where my lead note was they scored one touchdown in the practice, that's what this reminded me of today.
Yeah, that's not really a good sign coming out of there, and Daryl running it in, you know, throwing that as it is. This offense is just right now not set up in a place to succeed, and I think it's downright wrong if you don't attribute at least some of it to the four-man quarterback competition. Like, J.J. McCarthy is taking a ton of reps, especially with the first team in their training camp right now, where you go and look at the Brown stats, and it's like, okay, each guy has like 8 logged passes. Like 6 logged passes. Shador yesterday logged 4 pass attempts. Partially, in fact, because he was being pressured and there was going down as like recorded sacks where Shador was down in the backfield and everything else. But yeah, you just don't have a ton of opportunities to throw the ball in a 4-man quarterback competition when you're trying to give everybody reps, which is something we'll get into later on in the show. You're running out, you know, even dealing with the ones, dealing with the twos, the rookies with the threes. Like, you're trying to give them opportunity, but there's just only so much that you can go around and give. And it does set the offense up for a little bit of failure. Like, every day that you have a competition in here, especially a competition as deep as the Browns are running it, supposedly in their eyes is a 4-man competition, you're taking away valuable reps even from guys like Joe. And I know we sit up here and say, well, Joe is a 40-year-old quarterback who's been in the league for 2 decades. He doesn't need all those reps. To some degree, you're right. Like, Joe needs less to get ready than I think, especially a lot of the younger guys, and even guys like Kenny, where he's going into year 4. But In an offense that's different from the one he ran in 2023, a similar offensive scheme, but it is by no means cut and paste the exact same thing that you already ran, you still have to get work in. And Joe's going through the same process as everybody else right now of making sure that he's learning the offense, is on a page with what Stefanski and Tommy Rees and Musgrave want to do. But I don't know that right now, with the 4 guys in the room, you can say that this offense is set up for success. Realistically, the offense is set up, it feels like it's kind of doomed. Like, no matter who ends up getting the starting job, no matter how talented that guy is, it feels like you're setting up the offense for failure. And I think that's a problem. And it's something that Kevin touched on yesterday, throwing out like, hey, we want to get this thing wrapped up as it makes sense, like as quickly as possible. We don't want to let this quarterback competition linger. But I feel like more and more, as you go through and you listen to what people say, you watch it firsthand, it does feel like the faster you get this done, the better, because These guys just aren't on the same page right now. The offense is not the one that's humming. Yes, the defense is great, but it's not the only thing that matters here. Like, you need to score points. So a day where the offense or the defense succeeds, you can look at and say, well, it's a good day for the defense. It does become problematic when I'm looking at a defense that's constantly winning every day at camp. Like, the offense should be taking away wins, at least partial wins on days where, hey, you know, you trust them to go through and get it done. But they have not done that. They have been the losing team routinely here in camp so far. And I need something to be better. I need this offense to be able to get their feet under them and actually have something established and have something that they can fall back on and feel like, hey, at least we know with starter number one here, maybe it only goes six games. Maybe it only goes seven games or whatever it is with Joe or Kenny. But I need those guys to be on the page. All above else, the offense has to get ready for 2025. Like, yes, I care about the rookies. I want to see if you have something extra. And that is the most important thing to me. But the most important thing for a football team, no matter what kind of football team you're building out, is that the guys that you're putting out on the field, you're giving the best opportunity to succeed. And right now, it does not feel like the Browns are setting up the offense for success. They're setting it up for failure. So I don't know how long you could let a quarterback competition drag on, at least not in the four-man stage. Like, you need to be realistic with it right now. Hey, is Shedeur Sanders in this competition? Because I can look around and say, Shedeur, once again today, the only quarterback not to run with the ones. Doesn't really feel like Shador's in the competition. So does Shedeur need to be out there getting as many reps as everybody else in one drill where you're only running it on one field? I don't know. Like, I don't know necessarily if that should be the biggest point of emphasis. Yes, make sure he gets his reps either way. I mean, he's a quarterback on your roster, for crying out loud. Yes, develop him. Try to work with him. Don't just throw him off to the side. But when I'm talking about running with the ones, even getting the three guys out there to run with the ones and like, all right, we got to make sure we get Dylan reps with these guys. Dylan Gabriel in the quarterback competition? Like, I need to know, are you actually considering starting him for week one? With everything that you've seen, do you think that he's taking the progression to get there? Because if the answer is drastically no, then he needs to work and he needs to get better with the twos. And you need to let Kenny and Joe take over to be ready to play with the ones. And that's just reality. Like, if they're not going to run with the ones right now, they're going to have to figure it out later on in the year. That's how every other team does it. Right? Like, you don't go out there and see Jackson Dart necessarily taking a ton of reps with the ones. And vice versa, you're not going to see J.J. McCarthy running a ton with the twos. Because you need to go out there and you need to establish what is important, and that's getting your offense ready. And that's good team or bad team. You still want to try to surprise people. And if you want to be better than people think you are, it's going to be important to find who your quarterback's going to be to at least start the year. And make sure that the offense is clicking there. The other guys can learn in the background. All right, they can pick up from the things that Joe is doing with the ones and do the exact same thing with the twos. That connection that you have to establish, sure, it can come later. But I don't know that that's the mentality of the Browns right now. 216-474-0092. Is the Browns offense doomed, or does it at least feel that way with the way that, you know, four-man quarterback competition is running? And like I said, the offense has continued to not look great, and that's not just for me. Daryl and several other people would probably agree. You can also get to me on X, at Volnick Jake, V-U-L-I-N-E-C, Jake. So we can do our social media reactions, powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Plenty of good stuff coming up for you guys tonight. As always, we'll get to the station buzz coming your way at 7:40 and get a grip in its typical place at 9 o'clock. Immediately following, Dan Lobby, Cleveland.com. Out at training camp today. He'll talk to us more about what he saw on the field, maybe some things that we personally missed, maybe some extra things in where the Browns are headed this season. That's coming your way at 9:20. We'll bring in Mackenzie Flume later on for another edition of You Gotta Pick One in the 10 o'clock hour. But right now, 216-474-0092. Not a lot of great things to say about the Browns offense early on in training camp. Does it feel like they're doomed for failure? We'll get to your calls and more coming up here in 5 minutes right here on Overtime with Jake Volnick. With you guys until 11 on The Fan. And does it start to feel like the offense is doomed? Like, listen, it kind of, in a way, Again, everything building up. Again, it's way too early to call and look at the offense and say, hey, they were bad at 3 days of training camp. They're going to be bad. Like, I understand that. That's not what I'm going for here. I'm not just saying they were bad at 3 days of training camp. They're going to be bad. But consistent struggles to start and consistent struggles from all four of the quarterbacks.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
At least start to paint a picture that, hey, maybe none of these guys are starting to get the work that they should.
It's the third day. It'll be okay. That's my message to Browns fans.
Yeah, it's day three, but it's also, 3 weeks away, 4 weeks away from the opener of the season? Like, not that far away from it. I understand, like, again, yes, 3 days is far too early. I'm not saying no. I'm not saying you're wrong, Dom. In no way. But you're also only a month away, and when none of the guys feel like they're comfortable with the receivers, that's also a problem.
Yeah, I think that if the defense looked bad, it's more of a concern. Because in practice, defense is easy. You have to remember, it's not like the defense is lining up and they're like adjusting. No, they know what the offense is going to run. Like when they run those scenarios, those defensive coverages and blitzes are catered to the offensive formations. Those scripts aren't, they're not just blindly written. They're done on purpose, especially at the defensive end. So the offense is in disadvantage, especially in these first few days where they're building chemistry. A lot of guys, like next week, I'm sure like Gabriel or Pickett or Flacco, whoever, or Shadur will have way less reps. And then you're going to see 2-3 guys getting more reps, and they're going to get better with Judy and everyone else. And I just think it's going to be okay. And the offense might be really bad. That just might be the reality here in Cleveland. But it's not going to be as bad as it is now. I can promise you that.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be as bad as it is now. But, like, I already have a lot of questions surrounding the offense. And the fact that, like, yes, defense is always going to be easier in practice. That is a thing. But it's also, like, the offense hasn't even taken away marginal wins. Like, and I'm not just saying, hey, the defense is breaking up a couple of routes. Like, Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders especially, and those are your rookie quarterbacks. Those are the guys that I would expect to struggle more. Like, just not making plays that look all that competitive. At times, there's plays where they do, obviously, but there's also plays where, like, ooh, like you're missing a little something here. Like, you're not up to speed with the rest of these guys, not even close.
The thing is with camp is that, like, first few days, especially if you're a rookie, I can imagine. Right, I only played at the college level at D3, and I wasn't very good. So I can only relate to an extent, right? Those first few days aren't fun because you're figuring out your sleep schedule, how much breakfast to eat before practice, or how much lunch to eat after, how physically active you should be before and after practice. Your feet hurt. You're chafing. Like, it's a million things. You're running out of baby powder. Like, it's a million things. You need to go to Walmart and buy Pedialyte. I actually saw Baker Mayfield buy, like, a ton of Pedialyte his rookie year, which was my freshman year of college. Camp sucks. And if you're a rookie, like, Shadur's looking at the playbook right now. I guarantee you he's, like, in bed right now listening to the show and reading his playbook.
Yeah, we like to think that, right? Yeah.
And he's reading the playbook, and he's like, the heck is this play? And he's reading it through, and he's probably calling Gabriel, hey, what is this? And Gabriel doesn't know what he's talking about either. That's camp. Like, for the first week, no one knows what's happening other than, like, Joe Flacco.
Yeah, or maybe Shador's laying in bed listening to the show going, yeah, maybe the offense really is doomed. Like, maybe he's just sitting there like, yeah, maybe he's not wrong. Yeah, maybe.
It's like these guys were at practice today.
Did you guys see that Greg Newsome compared Kenny Pickett to Baker Mayfield, like, their energy levels?
Yeah,
I was like, am I missing something?
Oh, no, we're definitely, we're missing a whole lot.
I'm like, two, they're like the same tenacity. I'm like, what?
I'm going to say something.
Go ahead, Dom. You're the Kenny Pickett guy.
Kenny Pickett. Shades of prime Baker Mayfield.
Do you feel that way?
Yeah, I've always. I mean, at first I thought that Kenny Pickett at his ceiling was like Kirk Cousins, which like that was when he was. But I think like he
Kirk Cousins
could be,
has a lot bigger hands than Kenny does.
Who cares? I think. I mean, what are we doing with the small hands? Who cares? He wears the Kenny Duke gloves. He throws the ball just fine.
Two very tiny gloves. Dude, child size gloves.
This pinky ring I'm wearing right now would be literally just spitting on his finger right now.
Oh, yeah.
Is Dom wearing a pinky ring? I think that's the 15th time he said since he got here that he's wearing a pinky ring.
It's at least the fifth.
I have not. But, like, they're two guys that would lower a shoulder. Like, they're not mobile, but they can run type of guys. Like, you know, decently accurate. I guess that's on Kenny Pickett. He was accurate at one point.
Kenny doesn't give me lower the shoulder vibes. Not at the NFL level, at least.
He has. I've seen it.
Yeah, he's done it. I feel like every quarterback's done it at one point or another. Like,
he can run.
He can move. Uh-huh. Got a little mobility to him.
He can lower a shoulder and then be out for a week and then complain why he's not starting.
See, that feels like the right, Now we're back on track. Baker's going to get up and pound his chest and scream into the air after he does it. Kenny's going to be like, ow. Like, that hurt. I don't want to do that again.
Hey, Kenny does have a role named after him.
A rule?
Yeah, the Kenny Pickett rule. They're not allowed to fake slide.
Oh, the rule. Yeah. The injury and you came out. It roll, like a dinner roll, or like your roll on an offense, like R-O-L-E or R-O-L-L.
Rule? Is that what I say? Rule?
Rule, yeah. Okay. Maybe it's the Midwest. I mean, maybe you're right and I'm wrong. I don't know.
Maybe we're both wrong.
Yeah, possibly. Right. Wouldn't be aside from this show. But I want to get you guys in on this. 216-474-0092. Does it feel like the offense is doomed on the early offset? Again, I think part of that has to relate back to the four-man competition. Let's go out to the phones. Chuck is in Shaker. What's going on, Chuck?
Hey, how you doing?
We're doing good, man. How you doing?
I'm all right. Listen, it just seems like to me this is a very simple thing to figure out as far as those reps. I mean, you know, you can't just keep a guy out and keep him on your squad and say, well, you know, he's not turning out too well when you're not giving him the opportunity, you know, because that's the only way you're going to learn, you know, is to get, you know, go up against the ones. You see how fast they're going to be. It's going to be a different speed. It's going to be a different mentality. And it's going to actually build a confidence up of Shador, if he basically picks up with this number one. And then it possibly could be where Stefanski, if he did start throwing dimes, it might start a quarterback controversy. So, you know, I don't know why they, you know, got him thrown to nobodies and things like that, unless they're just going to keep him and he's not going to get cut. You know, he'd be on the roster. Something's got to be going on, you know?
Yeah, and Chuck, I think it's interesting because I think it honestly goes one of two ways, and I appreciate the call. I think this goes two ways. Either Shador's not part of the competition, and then it makes sense that he's not getting reps with the one. With the ones. If you think that he's not going to be your starting quarterback, yes, properly. Don't give him reps with the ones, because what are you doing? Like, at the end of the day, you are running a football team. Like, this isn't a participation trophy award. You got to earn reps with the ones. I think if you're also making the sell, no, we're running a four-man competition, then he needs to be there. Like, then he needs to be up there and doing it. You can't have it both ways. You can't tell me you're running a four-man competition and then be like, but we're only really giving three of them the opportunity to win the job. Right? And I don't think that Shador, through the stats that he's done at training camp, through the throws that we've seen of him making at training camp, has really done enough to go out there and earn his spot to play with the ones, which is fine. But then call it a three-man competition. Say, all we know right now is that we're probably not going to go with Shador. Which sounds brutal, it sounds mean and angry, but if that's reality, tell me what reality is. But you're not going to do that. Because the Browns are sitting here and they're going to be looking for trade offers at the end of the day. Right? And that's something they have to consider. Where if somebody's going to offer something up for any of these four quarterbacks, unlikely to be the rookies, but maybe. Well then, what are they willing to sort of give to us? Right, and I have to make sure that they're viewed in a positive light up until it doesn't matter. And even then, the Browns have showed time and time again they're going to make the quarterbacks be viewed with a positive light. Like, we spent how long with Dorian Thompson-Robinson of them saying, oh, no, we love DTR's progression. We think that he could step in and be the backup. If we had to, you know, actually throw him into a role to start, he'd be fine. And then you see Dorian Thompson-Robinson start, and you go, what the hell were you looking at? Because I just watched him play, and that was nowhere near starter caliber quarterback. But the Browns are going to always continue to do that. That's just the way they operate. But you do need to tell me. You do need to shrink this thing down at some point. And maybe it is a show me, don't tell me moment. And maybe this is the first version of they're kind of showing you that this is not a four-man competition. It doesn't feel that way right now. If you're giving Dylan first-team reps and Shador not, hey, from last I checked, the round you were drafted does not matter. That is courtesy of Kevin Stefanski and courtesy of Andrew Berry. Once you're in the building, nobody cares what round you were drafted in. You're all viewed the same. You're rookies. Now, we all know there's, you know, some fallacies to that, but if that's what you're telling me, then Shador and Dylan would have came in on equal footing, and you felt that Dylan Gabriel has just been a better quarterback than Shador has been. And you're telling me this is a three-man race. It just feels very early to make that assumption, and it feels like that assumption was formed before you even got onto the field. So I don't know that Shador's getting a true fair crack at it. I also don't know, or I do know, that he's not really earning it either. Not with his play on the field in training camp. Like, nothing that we can see tangibly says Shador should be getting reps with the ones. But I think it is very, very important that the Browns go through and shrink this thing down. For the sake of the offense, for the sake of trying to find success this year, I think you do need to eventually get it down to at least two quarterbacks. Because I can manage a two-quarterback competition. I can. Like, I can look at the ones and be like, all right, if, as long as I'm turning out reps with these two, the rookies can work on the side like they have in many of the practices, although did a lot less today. But as long as you go out there and are just keeping the guys consistent with the ones, and it's just the same two over and over again, then it's a competition. And competitions happen in football. Like, this is reality. That guys have to fight to be starters. And I'm okay with that. But you can't tell me when there's one spot open, you're seriously considering four guys. And if they're all going to look this bad, then you need to start taking away those reps from the ones that look worse. The guy that you're least confident in to make the start, you're going to have to start pulling those back. And you're going to have to start throwing them with the twos and the threes. Because you can't just continue to do this. The Browns offense is going to be the key to them actually having success this year. Right? It's a lot on how the defense shows up. But I know the defense is going to be somewhere between the first overall defense and the probably like 16th overall defense. I think they are a top half of the league. So I know that in the grand scheme of things, in a lot of games that they play, the defense is going to outshine the opposition on the other side. My defense is going to be better than yours. And I feel confident with that with the Browns, even though some things coming out today with Jordan Hicks that, you know, maybe make that a little bit more confusing with the retirement. But I do still think, like, you have a very strong defensive line. You have a pretty good secondary. Then the linebacker core is what it is. But I feel like that is a solid group. So I can trust on the production they put out. The offense is going to be, the team essentially goes as far as you go. As far as you're willing to push them, if you can get to middle of the pack, that might be a top-tier team then. But it's going to be real tough for you to get there. You have to try to find a way if you're the Browns. You have to try to find a way to maximize what you're getting. And that does boil down to, I need to see the best guys playing with the other best teammates that they have. And I need to see a lot of that. Like, pads go on Monday. I'm going to need to start seeing when these guys put the pads on, that you got to separate yourself, because Joe Flacco and Kenny Pickett, quite frankly, should be separating themselves on a large margin. And right now, it might just be stink and really stink when it comes to the rookies, the really stink, and the veterans just stink. But I'm going to need one of you to show out and say, hey, at least I'm decent. And start a competition that is smaller. And the Browns have to react accordingly. If not, this offense is going to be going absolutely nowhere. You cannot do the four quarterback thing all offseason long leading up to week one of the regular season and expect it to work. I don't think that's how this flies. I think you're just asking for subpar offense. And then we'll all sit here and we'll all complain, being like, well, the offense still stinks. Kevin Stefanski just stinks. And it's like, maybe the process just stunk. Maybe the process of getting here was more of the problem than the guys you have in there or the coach that's coaching him up. It was how you went about deciding who was going to get the actual rep.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
And I think that's where I start to draw the issue. That's where I start to have problems with it. 216-474-0092. Is it okay to not give every quarterback a true chance in order to try and save the offense? Because I think that's kind of where I'm headed. The Station Buzz coming up here in about 4 minutes on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan. We're going to get to the Station Buzz coming up in just a couple of minutes. But I mean, I did want to say, like, I threw out the question at 216-474-0092. Is it okay to not give every quarterback a true chance in order to try and save the offense and make it the best that it can possibly be? Even if you don't think it's, you know, quote unquote doomed or it's off to a really bad start and this is just 3 days into training camp, I think you can also look at it and say, yeah, running a four-man competition is not conducive to producing the best possible offense that you can. And I do. I think it's fair to not give everybody a true chance. Like, as much as I want to see Shador and I want to see Shador succeed, if you're focused on winning and that's what your goal is this season, then it's absolutely fair. I'm going to draw some questions about you drafting two quarterbacks and then saying, eh, well, we don't really have the room to give them a shot. You probably shouldn't have drafted two of them. But this is not just a participation award for playing in your Little League baseball, right? When you were 8 years old, you don't just get a trophy for being like, good job, buddy. Team went 0-15, but at least you showed up, right? You went up there, you didn't get a single hit all year, and this is still a coach pitch, but you showed up and you tried. Like, no, you don't get that. You got to go earn it. Like, these guys have to go earn their spots. And if you start lighting it up with the twos or lighting it up with the threes and you're Shador, you're Dylan Gabriel, all right, well, then you can go earn your chance to play with the ones. Like, and at least practice with them. And at least start getting more reps and, you know, try to earn your spot on the depth chart later on in the season. But if I'm the Browns, I do still have to run a football team here. Whether everybody thinks I should be focused on 2026 and whether or not I actually am, I do still have to run a team that's trying to win football games. And I kept a lot of veterans around with that intent in mind. Of this isn't just going to be a team that is rebuilding. Rebuilding teams, different story. You still got to try to win football games, but you know what? Maybe you can focus a little bit more heavily on development. Right now, if you're the Browns, you just don't have the luxury to do that. So you have to go and you have to shorten this thing and get it down to who's actually going to be helping you if that remains your goal. And I need you to show me what your real goal is. Keep saying one thing. You need to also show me it. Because it still feels like the rookies are a step behind. They're not caught up to where Joe and Kenny are. And if we get the pads on, and we have the pads on for a week, and that still is the case, well, then you probably need to consider that those guys aren't going to be ready. The idea that a guy gets a chance to start is that he's close to, or if not already to the point that some of these veterans are at. Right? And he's coming in with an understanding that feels like he's an NFL vet, and he's been there. You don't necessarily get that feeling, or at least the Browns aren't showing you that they have that feeling about either guy right now, and especially not Shador. So you don't deserve a true chance. Go earn your chance. Go earn your spot to get it, because just walking around and acting like you're a part of a quarterback competition and the team selling that you're a part of a quarterback competition, it's not helping anybody. It's hurting the team, and it's not doing anything extra to help you. So all you can say, and I know it feels like the guys know this, and we heard Kenny and we've heard, or not Kenny, we heard Dylan and we heard Shador talk about both of that today, that they know how important it is to steal reps. They know how important it is to just focus on themselves. And, you know, Dylan said something of the likes of he needs to be better than he was yesterday every single day, and that's his focus. And Shador talked about, I'm not worried about reps. I'm just worried about getting in there and making the most of the opportunities I have. Okay, good. So the players get it. I just need the team to follow suit and also understand what's happening. All right, let's leave that there. We're going to talk a little bit of Guardians coming up here in about 13 minutes. But before we do, let's get to the most pressing things said by our station's guests today. Why don't we do it with the station bus? All right, let's kick things off. Dan Orlovsky of ESPN on today with Nick Wilson on Afternoon Drive. And he chimed in and gave his opinion on the quarterbacks he would be giving a start week one if he was in charge of the Browns.
And both of them would be the rookies. I would be doing everything if I was Cleveland to see if one of those two kids I drafted could be a starter this year. And then you have the opportunity to evaluate, is he a starting quarterback or is he not a starting quarterback? Is he a starting quarterback that we can win games with? Because then that maybe changes the way you view those two first round picks for next year.
So I think that this is where the national media and where the Browns actually want to go just have a very different view. If the Browns were tanking, this should be what's there. You draft quarterbacks, you want to see what the quarterbacks have. But it's just not realistic to go and look at it and say, well, quarterback in the third round, quarterback in the fifth round, they got to see what these guys have. Those quarterbacks typically don't get a ton of chances early on in a season. Like maybe you turn it over to a third round quarterback later on in the year if you're a team, but much more often than not, the third round quarterback and the fifth round quarterback don't see the field up until late in the year. So if you're the Browns, like, yeah, you got to find your quarterback of the future, but the guys who are drafting those spots just typically are not ready. They're not prepared to go out there and just be dominant right away and to be an NFL starter. They have room to grow. They have room to get better before they're actually able to put it together all in one spot. So I don't know that I would be going out and just throwing these guys out to the wind. Like, yeah, it feels like a good idea, but not with what you're trying to do. You want to try to win games? Well, you need to go try to win games then, and that's probably not with the rookies. So as much as I want to see the rookies go out there and I'd love to see the rookies start, probably not the best course of action for what you're trying to accomplish. All right, let's keep it going. Our very own Daryl Ryder, our Cleveland sports beat reporter, on today with The Morning Show. And Daryl chimed in and talked about the Quinshon Judkins situation and the fact that he might not just be ready for week one.
Looking at it through the football lens, it's unfortunate that the Browns have as many players charged with assault as they had victories last year. That's a pretty sad state of affairs. It's unfortunate that they continue to occur with players that Andrew Berry brings into that building. I am interested to see what the league ultimately decides to do. If Mike Hall Jr.'s situation is any indication, that tells you that even if and when they sign Judkins, he's not going to be available to them in week one.
Yeah, I mean, listen, there has to be like some accountability held to Berry. I get it. Like, you don't have full control over your players, but yes, you are the ones that drafted him at the end of the day. You do have to take account for that. Like, you do have to take some accountability that you continuously draft these guys, and Barry seems to draft them more often than not that end up in off-the-field issues. I also think it's nearly a guarantee at this point. Like, I don't think you're getting... I don't even know that Quinshon will be suspended by week one. Like, that's where we're at. I don't know that this gets resolved and the NFL is ready to even suspend him by the time you get to week one. But there is a suspension coming. I would be very, very surprised if the NFL does not go through and hand down a minimum 4-game suspension just for having your name and the words domestic violence in the same sentence. You just can't do it. They can't have it. They don't like the PR image it brings to them. And so they go through and suspend you for being involved in those type of things, innocent or not, or proven guilty or not, I should say. Like, who knows, you know, what the actual ruling ends up being. But Ekeliya typically or technically wasn't charged with anything. Still got a 4-game suspension. Mike Hall, charges were dropped. Got a 5-game suspension. Just what the NFL does. So I can't be counting on Quinshon to be here really for like the first half of the year. It's more of a question of whether or not they sign him, which I think we can all feel pretty confident the Browns will end up signing Quinshon. I think they're going to take that on. You use a second round draft pick on him. We're just speaking from history here. That guy's probably getting signed. All right, let's move on and talk. Tyler Dunn, also on with the morning show today. Talked about a little bit of Browns forecasting in the market and compared it to rivals that are 2.5 hours away.
You're going to have that ammo next year in what should be a better class of quarterbacks. I think that's the big thing, too, is kind of targeting a year ahead of time for one of these prospects and not getting stuck like those Steelers. I mean, they backed themselves into a corner for a quarterback in a historically putrid class. By the time they moved on from Ben Roethlisberger, and they should have moved on a year or two ahead of time, they forced themselves to draft, you know, Kenny Pickett. I like Pickett a lot. I think Cleveland's doing a good job of kind of forecasting the market at the position and thinking 2, 3, 4 moves ahead of time.
So I would agree with this, but again, the entire thing of drafting 2 quarterbacks then makes no sense to me. Like, I get you have no answer, but if you were forecasting the market, you were like, well, you know, we're just going to roll by and we're not going to take a quarterback this year because we're looking a year ahead into the future and saying that's a better quarterback class. We'll get one then. Why'd you still waste 2 draft picks on quarterbacks? Like, if you're truly looking ahead to 2026, don't draft one or draft one. Love God, draft one who at the very least you think it could be a backup. Or maybe he surprised us. Maybe he takes the job. But at the very least, maybe he could be our backup here. You went through and you drafted the kid. And then you drafted another one. And you committed yourself in some way to saying, well, the 2025 class has at least got some talent. There's at least something working here later in the draft that I want to give a shot. I don't think the Browns are forecasting much. By not taking one in the first round, they left the opportunity available to them by getting the extra pick. They definitely planned for it. But this just feels like an organization that's like, we're just going to take some swings off of the old pitching machine. Just keep throwing them in here. Maybe the first 2, it's not calibrated right, but by that 3rd one, you're going to throw me a nice fastball right down the middle. But I might still get to that fastball that you threw at my eyes at 106 miles an hour. Maybe I'll get to it, but probably not. All right, last one for you guys. John Morosi of MLB Network on today with Baskin and Phelps, and he talked about the sad reality of the lineup if it didn't have Jose Ramirez and Stephen Kwan.
The one thing that I would say that stands out to me is let's also not forget the lessons of that 10-game losing streak, which were offensively when Ramirez isn't going, and that was right after, as Guardians fans remember well, it was not long after he got hit by the pitch and he wasn't quite the same for a couple weeks. That reminded basically everybody that they do not have the lineup depth to be a formidable team unless Jose and to some lesser extent Kwan are rolling at the same time. If those 2 guys are either hurt or not feeling it for a particular window, they're just not a team that other clubs really worry about. I mean, that's being honest. That's what that 10-day stretch told us. And so I do think if you could trade a reliever and get back 2 guys that you believe are going to be legitimate frontline position players for you within the next couple of years, if you can basically bring in the next version of Michael Brantley, which I still think, you know, as much as it was painful for the Indians at the time to trade CeCe, Brantley was a great player for them for a long time. That was a good trade. And I think is Owen Casey from the Cubs that kind of a player? Is Justin Crawford from the Phillies that kind of a player? We'll see. I don't know, but those.
John, again, really good stuff. I think he's right when it comes to the Kwan and the Jose stuff. Like, yeah, you take him out of this lineup, it gets brutal. I also think you take the 2 best players out of any lineup, you start to look a lot worse. Maybe not 0-10, but a lot worse. All right, let's talk a little bit of Guardians. I think there's just one thing that is you try to determine what the Guardians are going to do at the deadline. You have entirely wrong in the way that the front office looks at it. It's in 5 minutes on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash.
Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.